Father, you are so good to us. Your matchless love, beyond compare, leads us into that deeper place where we need to be. Closer to our loving Savior. Closer to each other. Your church is the apple of your eye. The shining glory in the universe. We are so thankful this morning that we be at one with you. We ask for the indwelling of your Spirit, that we will leave this place rejoicing in knowing that we are disciples of the risen Savior. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God is good. He's very good. John chapter 15 is going to speak loud and clear this morning. A friend asked a newly married man a question. He asked the man, "How's everything going? Are you and your wife getting along all right?" The man said, "Well, my wife loves me about like a tombstone." Well, the man seemed very upset about that answer. He had thought that the newly married couple were getting along just fine. He said, "So she loves you like a tombstone? I'm sorry to hear that." The newly married man said, "Well, actually, that's good, because a tombstone stands up for you when you are down and out. My wife is always there for me." But this morning, we will study one another. Does that intimidate you? Shouldn't. Do you realize how many times in the Bible it says one another? We're going to discover a lot this morning about one another. Today, we're going to find out about some relationships in the Bible that are perhaps relationships that some of us may not have experienced yet. Love was so lacking in Jesus' day that he had to give them what is called a new commandment. Now, we know that's not actually a new commandment. It is issued by the same person who wrote the original commandments, the same finger that wrote those 10 laws back on Mount Sinai, points to the heavens with a summarization of these 10 commandments with this command by Jesus found in John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Those two words again, one another. He mentions it twice, it's that important. God wants loving and lovable Christians. God wants us to love one another. There's nothing wrong with that. An example. There was a big thunder and lightning storm. Frightened by the clamor of thunder in the middle of the night, a little girl came out of her bedroom into her daddy's bedroom and cried, "Daddy, can I get in bed with you?" Holding her securely in his arms, he explained that she had nothing to fear. "God is going to take care of you, my child, because you are one of his children. He loves you. He won't let anything happen to you. You can go back to bed." She said, "I know God is going to care for me, Daddy, and I know he loves me. But right now, Daddy, I want somebody with skin on." I will tell you, friends, that we as Christians are to be God's love with skin on. God's love with skin on. That's what we're to be. Representatives of the love of Jesus Christ. Do we really love each other that way, as Jesus wants us to love each other? It's going to be a lot of hard questions this morning, but that's good. We ought to love one another. There once was a sign, and when I saw this quote, it was quite a contradiction. There once was a sign on a convent where the nuns live in Southern California, and the sign read, "Absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law." Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. Back in John 13:35 again. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That is how you know if you are a disciple. And that is how everyone else knows that you are a disciple, or if you are not a disciple. If you love one another, you will be his disciple. That's the promise. Do you know what kind of Christian you are? God only wants one type of Christian. But there are many types of Christians in the world today. There are nominal Christians. We hear of nominal Christians. We hear of fundamental Christians. We hear of conservative Christians. We hear of liberal Christians. God wants one type of Christian. What type of Christian are you? What type of Christian am I? Do you know how much you love God? Can you measure or can you gauge what kind of Christian you are or how much you love God? Can you measure that? Your love for your brother, your love for your sister is the yardstick of your love for God. Your love for your wife, your love for your husband, your love for your brother, your love for your sister, that is the yardstick that tells you how much you love God. It's like an old wagon wheel. In the old days, as the spokes in the wagon wheel approach the hub, the center, each spoke gets closer to the next spoke. And when people come closer to Jesus Christ, who is the hub and center of life and hope, they are drawn towards each other in brotherly and sisterly love. It's just as simple as that. Together, they journey towards heaven, toward Jesus. Together, we often sing, "We are one in the Spirit." Some people are uncomfortable singing that song. But you know, if you look at the words, it says, "We are one in the Spirit. We will work together. We will walk with each other." And praise God, it's all in there. And every word in that song is true. We are indeed one in God's Spirit. That's the way God would have us to be, His church, His remnant church. The great lesson that Christ taught by His life and example was that of unity and love amongst brothers and sisters. This love is the token of what? Of discipleship. The divine credentials which the Christian bears to the world. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Love to God and man must be a heart principle in the soul. For there is no other way that the Christian can become a partaker of the divine nature. If you have something against a brother and sister, make it right. God will not bless you if you do not make it right. Take the Bible counsel. And that goes along with other things as well. If you don't agree with some action or some way that a person has, you are not to go to someone else and talk about it. You're to go to who? But what are you supposed to do before that? Pray about it and see that your heart is right. Go to that individual. Don't be afraid. God is with you. He will make it right. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, how did Jesus love his disciples? Ultimately, he died for them. That's the quantity of love we are to have for each other. So that is his commandment. That is the kind of love that Jesus wants to see in our homes, between husband and wife, between parents and their children, between brothers and sisters in his church, and to share in the world. That's true love, agape love, that can only be shared by who? By us. And how do we share it? By allowing Christ's agape love to be within us. Now, how does God love us? God loves us with an unconditional love, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. He didn't wait for us to become good. He loved us even when we were bad. And that is unconditional love. A small boy questioned his daddy, "How much does God love us?" The father said, "God loves us with an unconditional love." The little boy said, "Well, what is that?" Daddy said, "Do you remember when the neighbor boys got a new puppy last Christmas?" "Yeah, I remember that." "Do you remember how they used to tease that puppy? They would even throw sticks and rocks at the small puppy. Do you remember that?" "Yes." "Do you remember how the puppy would always greet them with his tail wagging and try to lick their faces?" "Yes." Those contemptible boys did not deserve that puppy's love, but the dog loved them anyway. That is unconditional love. As an illustration, we have a dog at home, a puppy. If I'm gone all day at work, and I open the door, it's like something inside this dog explodes. He goes crazy. And the tail's wagging that much, you know, he's almost going to flip over. Why? Instilled within that puppy is sometimes a love we humans don't even comprehend. Which we should. And they call them dumb animals. I don't know what kind of love it is, but I know one thing. We need more of it. We really do. That is how God loves us. Jesus came into this world, men threw sticks at him, men threw rocks at him, threw insults at him, they hit him with sticks, they stabbed him, killed him. But Jesus loved them anyway. That's unconditional love. But isn't that great? When you think about it, how awesome God is to do such a thing for us. And that is how we ought to love one another, as God has loved us. In a sense, Jesus' commandment that he talks about here is mostly copied from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Let's think about what Jesus says, because Jesus is the author of the Old Testament, and he reiterates it in the New Testament. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors. Jesus also tells us to love our enemies. Probably because our neighbors and our enemies are often the same people. Shame on us. Should we have a neighbor that is our enemy? We ought to be friends with our neighbors, even if they do not want to be friends with us. That's the key. Love your neighbors. And 99.99% of the time, they will not be your enemies anymore. Do you know that the problem with our modern world is that we have become a neighborhood without becoming a brotherhood? We build our houses within feet of each other. It's like sardines. We're close together with our houses. We are worlds apart with our hearts. Shame on us if this is so. No matter how our neighbor would treat us, we are not to reciprocate that treatment. Our scripture reading this morning. As the Father, John 15, starting in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that what? My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Are you joyful this morning? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not, what? Know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Sometimes you overlook that part. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. When new people walk into the church, it's heartwarming, isn't it? Doesn't it do something to your soul? There may be other reasons why they come, but that doesn't matter. It still fills your heart to see new people come in. Now, what would keep them coming back? It's probably not because of doctrinal issues, ultimately. It is because that they find genuine love and generosity. That's the reason. They find the love of Jesus. They find the love of God's people. And on the other hand, more folk walk out the back doors of the church because of the coldness of so-called Christians. We should be loving each other rather than being immersed in some controversy. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. These things I command you, that you love one another. I'm going to ask you a hard question this morning. And you just ponder it within your own souls, as I have. Are you ready to lay down your life for a brother and sister sitting here today? That's something we should seriously consider, because Jesus commanded us to love one another. And you know, I had to say in my own heart, Father, I don't know what I would do if I was put into some situation, but I would ask that you would give me the passion and love to do what it takes, go all the way. There's a day coming, and it's coming very soon, that your life may be required of you for a brother or a sister. Listen to this true story. In September 1992, Jack Kelly, foreign affairs editor for the USA Today, witnessed firsthand the famine in Somalia. One particular starving boy touched Kelly, and he quotes, "Our photographer had a grapefruit, which he gave to the boy. The boy was so weak, he didn't have the strength to hold the grapefruit, so we cut it in half and gave it to him. He picked it up, looked at us as if to say thanks, and began to walk back towards the village. We walked behind him in a way that he couldn't see us. When he entered the village, there on the ground was a little boy who I thought was dead. His eyes were completely glazed over. It turned out that this was his younger brother. The older brother kneeled down next to his younger brother, bit off a piece of the grapefruit and chewed it. Then he opened up his younger brother's mouth, put the grapefruit in, and worked his brother's jaw up and down. That's going beyond feeding someone, folks. We learned that the older brother had been doing that for the younger brother for 2 weeks. A couple of days later, the older brother died of malnutrition, and the younger brother lived. I remember driving home that night thinking, I wonder if this is what Jesus meant when he said, there is no greater love than to lay down our life for somebody else. Do you think that older brother thought it a grievous thing to minister to the younger brother? Do you think that older brother had any care for his life? There's another verse in Romans 12 that amplifies the meaning of Jesus' text on love. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. What does that mean, in honor preferring one another? You would prefer a brother or a sister above yourself in humility. That's loving kindness. That is what is languishing here in this world. That's why this world is in such a mess. It's all self and greed. We need more kindness toward each other, more love toward each other. Now, what kind of love does he want? Pure love. And actually, this is the definition of pure love. It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbors curse. It is deafness when the scandal flows. There have been scandals in church over the years. I'm thankful for deafness. It is deafness when the scandal flows. Not judgment, not persecution, but deafness. It is thoughtfulness for another's woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls. Have any of us been under the cloud of misfortune? Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Filling the law, the truth will set you free. Love and liberty, which is synonymous with the law, cannot separate the two. But you cannot separate God and love, can you? You can't do it. An incident is told about two soldiers who had been released from a Siberian prison camp following World War II. We did our best, said an officer, to send the men back to their countries as fast as possible. But many were still there when winter threatened to close up the port. Only a limited number could board the last small boat. Among those waiting to be transported were two who had been close friends throughout all the war. One of them was selected, but the other seemed doomed to remain behind and experience certain death. An order was given that those who were leaving could take only one piece of luggage with them. All other luggage would have to stay. So the two bade each other goodbye, but then one of them said, "You know, I am emptying my suitcase." So he emptied his duffel bag of his prized souvenirs and his personal belongings and told his friend to hop in my bag. Then he carefully hoisted the bag on his shoulders and boarded the boat with his friend as his single most precious possession. This man truly loved his neighbor as himself. Will we do that? Or would we be so thankful to get out of that hideous place of torture and starvation and cold and numbness? Will we do that? Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to read it again. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. Beautiful verses. We need to love as God loves us. Love is the distinguishing characteristic of a true Christian, the trademark of brotherhood and sisterhood. We need to honor one another above ourselves. Put ourself away. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor giving preference to one another. That indeed is the qualifying mark of the true Christian. Mother Teresa once said this statement, "I have found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, then there is no more hurt, but only more love." Within the walls of church, there need not be any hurt. There need not be any hurt. Yes, we go through trials. Yes, we go through some pretty nasty things sometimes in this world that has to offer us. But when we come in the walls of the church, the love of Christ imbues the soul. The love for brother, the love for sister, the love for Jesus will penetrate. Love is not love until you give it away. If you're not giving it away, what good is it? You have heard of the fable of the wolves and the dogs. I'm not sure if you have, but listen to this one. It seems that the wolves were afraid of the dogs because there were so many dogs. So the wolves sent out a spy to observe the dogs. The returning scout said, "It is true that the dogs are numerous and some are very big. I know they all hate us wolves. But as they came marching by, I observed that they were all snapping at each other. Every dog hates every other dog with all his heart." Have you ever noticed that? If you were to take a dog for a walk and another dog is coming up the street, it's like a war zone sets up. So don't fear the dogs for 1 minute, because they hate each other. The Bible applies the truth of this allegory to Christians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another." What a horrible and devastating thought. To be consumed by one another because of resentments, because of jealousy and worldly ways. Beware of the dogs. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Do we see God then? And His love has been perfected in us.